Last 8 or so months, we were split between the morning and the evening, the early birds and the kite surfers or something like that. And it's really great to have everyone under one roof at the same time. I want to thank Pietri, Karin and Niku, Emmy and Tian, the whole worship team, for a special time in the Lord's presence this morning. Welcome to the family. Lekom julle hier te hê vanoggend saam met ons. Taking my phone out because I can't resist taking a photo of my friends, my brothers and sisters. Sien julle? I get the. Give me a second. There we go. Yeah, happy faces. That's good. That's good. I'm going to zoom in on that later and see who's smiling. If you're smiling very nicely, I might put you on the happy team next week. Okay. This morning, we do have a PowerPoint. Tia, it's coming up. Okay. John chapter 4. John, someone called that the Maverick Gospel. If you new in your walk with the Lord, or if you want to start reading the Bible again, vanakantaf, or like systematically, or if you have to tell someone where they should start reading the Bible if they ask you, where should I start, then you send them to the book of John. Previously I said Matthew. Scrap that. John, this is where you start, okay? That is the most comprehensive account of Jesus' life and a little bit less confusing than the start of Matthew as well. And so I inquired of a very astute scholar of the word what he would recommend, and I'm going along with that recommendation. So to start at John is a very good place if you want to start reading the word. And John chapter 4 came up on Thursday evening as we prayed our last prayer time slot at our previous venue. And Oom Johan was praying with us, and he started speaking about the woman at the well and the living water. And as he said that, it got embedded in my heart. And I knew, because up till that time, I'd been asking the Lord, what part of the scriptures would you like us to read together on Sunday? And I didn't know yet. And Thursday evening when Johan prayed, it just jumped at me and just got ingrained in my heart, as I said, and I knew this is what we're going to share this morning. Still know quite sort of exactly what the Lord wants to do with that here in our hearts, because it's a very loaded chapter. There's a lot of things you can, any chapter on John you can write a very thick book on. Not me, but some really clever guys. John chapter 4, we're going to take it from verse 4 to verse 26. So shake your neighbor and say, are you ready? I forgot to say the children may now go to children's church. They've gone. They don't need much encouragement. You should check out, we've got an awesome children's church team, and your children will be well taken care of as soon as they're of age, about 2 or 3 years. I'm getting sidetracked now. I'm going to read in the New International Version, the nearly infallible version, as some people say. If you're a scholar of the word, get yourself a number of translations and you get the fullest picture possible. And it brings more understanding as they use certain synonyms and so on to bring forth. Because the English language is rather limited. When they read in the Greek, those words are loaded. So that's why. But we like the New International Version as a preaching version. It's good. Also the English Standard Version. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know why, but here we go. Now he had Jesus, this is Jesus, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food at that time. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Or rather, my emphasis is wrong. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Okay, she's still not quite on the right page there, but we'll all see it unfold in a second. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Okay, that's rather, for her, a strange thing for him to reply. "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right." I can see the Lord smile as he says this. He said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." As I said, a very loaded portion of scripture. So yeah, Jesus, very thirsty and hungry, having walked through the desert, comes to this well, Jacob's well, and he knows that it's Jacob's well. It's quite a nice nostalgic moment there. And he finds a Samaritan woman, no coincidence. I mean, we've got to keep in mind, Jesus, although 100% man, in the time span that he was on earth, was at the same time 100% God. That's one of the more tricky truths that believers need to wrap their minds around, but we will grow in that understanding. So know that Jesus knew everything. He knew that she would be there, as he knew how many husbands she had and who she's with at the moment. He's got all knowledge. Like God has all knowledge, he has all knowledge. Perfect timing. And if you continue reading the passage at home, you'll see that Jesus had, he's always going somewhere. He's always got a plan of action. When the Lord is working with us, it is normally got far greater reaching consequences than what we can imagine. From this conversation, the whole town gets saved. Let's go back to the Samaritan woman. So she comes to draw water from the well. This is her custom. This is what she has to do. It's her job. It is hard work for her. She's not just drawing a little cup of water for a sip. It's a deep well. She's drawing for her family. She's drawing for their livestock. Buckets of water. And then it's to and fro, carrying and whatnot. The ladies worked hard in those days. That's why we'd like to give you guys off a bit now. So, Jesus asks her for a drink, and she can see he's a Jew. You know, he's got his robes and so on. And the Jews and the Samaritans didn't mix us. The Jews viewed the Samaritans as a lower class, as unclean. They were a different race, a different nation. And there was that classism and racism in that. Jesus obviously not having any of that. This whole text is about love and reaching across lines, shattering paradigms. A clear picture to us of how wrong the church was in South Africa years ago when there was segregation in the church. Don't know how those guys missed this. And so Jesus asked her for a drink. And then he says, but he actually wants to get to the next level. He was testing her heart there, seeing. He wants her to start engaging. He's engaging her. Then he says quickly after that, no, but if you knew he was asking you for a drink, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water. This is what he's getting to. He's thirsty, but he's not after the water. He's not thinking of himself first. He's thinking of her salvation. So she says, what's this living water? I'd like to get some. Are you telling me this living water is better than Jacob's wells? I mean, that's probably the best water that you're going to find. Jacob's wells water. I mean, that's like Perrier or whatever we bottle these days, you know? Richenu. That is the best H2O you can find in probably in the known world. And Jesus is talking about living water. No. I'm not talking about H2O, the Aramaic word for that. I'm talking about living water. And he says to her, this is what's inside. It's not what's outside. It's not what you can add to yourself. It's not something physical here. This is something that's going to well up within you unto eternal life. Streams of living water, you will never thirst again. Not talking about a physical thirst. Hear me out. The spiritual people here that like to fast, you've gone on the wild side, you've done an absolute fast, no eating, no drinking. Yeah, we've been there. You cannot not drink water for more than 3 days. It's not good for you. There's certain universal laws that God honors, unless he has explicitly told you, because he can do anything. But don't try and be a lone ranger and do something like that, okay? No. Jesus is talking about spiritual. Pointing the whole time to the fact, what does he say in John 3 to Nicodemus? It says you must be born of water and the Spirit. Water, Spirit. Born again. He's talking about a spiritual birth that needs to happen. He's saying you're not living, you're not alive, and you don't have eternal life unless you're spiritually born again. Unless you have living water inside of you. It's going to overflow. When you've got Jesus inside, you can't keep him in. It comes out. Waarvan die hart vol is, loop die mond van oor. Kan iemand amen sê? Amen. So, she was confused and she said, okay, I would love to get some of this living water because my back is killing me. I don't want to come back to Jacob's well. It's not all it's made out to be. Okay, it's just water. I want some of this living water. Now, what does he say? He doesn't, now he's getting at her lifestyle. He's starting to get personal. He wants to get right in there. He wants her to consider, he wants her to recognize that this is not just some kind of random conversation, because she wasn't really getting it in the beginning. He's not driving the point home. She says, where can I get this living water? He says, go call your husband. You see, that's a different conversation that's starting now. He's driving the point home. She says, I don't have a husband. And we read it. Yeah, you've had five. The guy you got now is not your husband. You told the truth. So he's commending her. Jesus is not in judgment over her here. He's not judging her at all. I promise you, he had a smile on his face. Well, I can't do that. But I'm sure he had a smile on his face. You can see God has a sense of humor. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a sense of humor. Okay, he's smiling. He's not judging her. Why? Because not too long after that, he took her judgment upon himself at the cross. And because our God is a righteous judge, he doesn't condemn two people for the same crime. You see, the Old Testament was under grace. Yes, some of them died very cruelly, but they were under grace. The blood of Jesus has washed away the sin of the whole world. Not just us New Testament folk. Not just us charismatic folk. Okay, no one's saying that. But the whole world. And the Samaritan woman as well. Across all lines. And so she says, okay, prophet. She talks about the mountain, Jerusalem. And he says, yes, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, the roots were right. That's the right track. The Jews are on the right track, but it doesn't end there. And she clicks, you're the Messiah that they speak about. The one they are waiting for, because everyone, every Jew knows they're waiting. Unfortunately, many of them are still waiting. And he has come. I am he, Jesus says. The promised Savior, King. That is me. And the Jews didn't get it because they were expecting the reigning Messiah right there. But he first had to suffer, and they didn't realize that. He first had to die for our sin. For their sin and for our sin here today. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, if he didn't cause waves which got him crucified, we would not be sitting here today. Jesus was obedient in what God told him to do, and it was tough. And he even prayed, Lord, is there another way? No, okay. Sweating blood in Gethsemane. We've been to Gethsemane, and it's difficult to sit there thinking that your Lord was there about 2,000 years ago, sweating blood for you, praying right there, faced with this immense persecution that none of us could really understand. And he did it for us. That's humbling. You don't think of yourself when you're there. You think of the Lord and what he did. Humbling. So he said, yes, the time will come when we don't worship here or there, but where we worship in spirit and in truth. It's not about a building. It's not about a place. Let's not get sentimental or superstitious. There's no room for that if you're following Jesus. Christ inside, the hope of glory. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is with you always. He's with you. What is the Father seeking? Is he seeking worship, as we read there? Was it verse 25? No, he's seeking worshippers. He wants us. He's seeking our hearts. He doesn't want what comes from our mouths. He wants our hearts. The scripture tells us that many draw near to him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Where's your heart this morning? Verse 24. Verse 23. The Lord is seeking true worshippers. What is the condition of our hearts this morning? We can't let it stay the same, people. We can't play with God. And we can't play church. Then we're wasting everyone's time. The Lord has called us to disciple people. Which means we need to make sure we get discipled so that we can disciple other people. It's about His kingdom, not about us. God wants our hearts. He doesn't want events. He doesn't want us to come and sing to Him and now He's happy. Tell me, did you find your heart here? Do you leave your heart here when you go now? No, your heart is with you all the time. The Lord wants your heart. Does He want it? Sometimes He wants it all the time. He wants your heart. He wants it. Ushers, would you do us a huge favor and bless us with communion? Thank you. The communion is going to come in now. And I just want us to just reflect, just to meditate on what the Lord is saying here. It might be different for each of us, what He's saying. He might have spoken to you in the worship, or the offering, or the announcements, or through our friendly welcome team. Love your aprons. I want you to honor what God is saying to you. That's all. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to God. What is God saying to you? As we just take the communion elements, just reflect a bit on that this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for what you did for us at the cross, Lord. Bearing a weight that none of us could carry. Saving us, Lord, when none of us can save ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that we can just bless these communion elements, Lord, as symbols of your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed for the washing away of our sin. Thank you, Lord, that as we appropriate that forgiveness, Lord, as we invite you to take over our lives, as we follow you wholeheartedly, Your blood washes us whiter than snow, Lord. Purifies us. Renders us righteous. In right standing with our God, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you that we can know you this morning, Lord. Thank you that we can know you always. Thank you that you're always with us. Thank you, Lord, that you know us just as well as you knew that Samaritan woman. Thank you, Lord, that you know our deepest, darkest secrets, Lord, and you still love us. You knew us from the foundation of the world, Lord. You knew everything we would do, and you still went to the cross for us. Your love for us is eternal. It is everlasting. We bless you for that, Lord. We wouldn't be able to live without you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Won't you turn to the person next to you and then let's just pray with each other and then we take the communion together. So you can pray quickly with each other and then you can decide to take the bread and then the juice. Thank you. Just give a few more seconds. Okay, amen. Can anyone say God is good? Amen. Thank you very much for coming this morning and joining us on our first service over here. The Lord has really blessed us. I want to thank everyone who, especially the guys and girls that really helped us to get settled in here. A special mention, Rob and Hofmeyer, Hervia, Chris, Brighton and Emmy. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for helping. And thank you for my wife for looking after the kids while I was helping. Okay, guys, we've got some tea and coffee next door. Have a very blessed Sunday. And looking forward to seeing you guys next week. Enjoy a small group this week. Bless you.